Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my.
Mr. K.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, you thing from another world, you.
Oh, thank you.
Good evening. Good evening, and welcome to Eerie House Oldie Timey Radio. I said it once, I'll say it again. I have officially transcended adulting and have descended or ascended into olding. Yep. Crossed that milestone yesterday, and soon will be retired, I hope. But I will never, as long as I'm sucking air, I'm never going to retire from Eerie House, Oldie Timey Radio, because I am accompanied by...
Jay Bigley from Weirdliest, Weirdest Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and happy birthday, Dale.
Thank you.
And we're here with...
Thank you, Sunny.
Greetings and hello to everyone. Many happy returns of the day to you, Dale. This is CW, who is of that generation where the word retirement does not exist. We'll work until we drop, and then they'll dig us up and make us do part-time.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I might do something part-time to putz around after I retire from full-time employment. But who knows? If the economy keeps sucking, I may have to work longer. Who knows? But we will get our minds off of all the terrible things in life. There's so many that we gave you three stories to escape with. Seventh Dimension. I used to love their music. Lights Out and Dark Fantasy tonight as we are in troubled waters, but with no bridge over it, man.
Yep. Maybe a rope or two, but no bridge. Maybe a swinging bridge. Other than that, you know, a rope.
A swinging bridge. Really? You're also the 11th? Good old Bob, are you the 11th too? He said, I have the same birth date. I bet it ain't the same year. Woot Woot from Fogsbane, live in the chat with us, fellas. Welcome. So, yeah. There you go. For years, I doubted my birth date because I was adopted, and people who are adopted in my era, your birth certificate is like a negative, and mine looks like a child tried committing fraud on it. Good old Bob is exactly, you know, good. Well, because they kind of like erased this stuff off and put my adoptive parents' info on it, and I'm like, what? But that's a signal that the kid's adopted, so I'm like, you know, they look different or whatever. I don't know. But
I'm not sure about mine. Mine was written in crayon, so that does confuse me at times.
Mine was carved on a stone. All right. Good old Bob, exactly 1 year my elder. So I'm guessing he was class of 77. He's the class of Eerie House, as is Fogsbane. So where should we begin? Our topic is water. And lots of it.
Lots of water. Yep. Lots of water. Where shall we start, CW?
Sorry, guys. I had to do a little maintenance. So,
she just smacked the homeless guy in the head. Wow. No. I'm kidding.
He deserved it.
How
he
dare you? I would never
it.
Be so loathsome. I hit a CEO in the head.
Okay. That's even better.
Yes.
More buck for your bang. Plus, if you shake them, some money might fall out, and then you're really a winner. That's the way I'd say.
Yes, absolutely. So the 1% beware when you see me. Beware and run quickly in your Jimmy Choo's and your Manolo Blahniks and your Lamborghinis and all that stuff.
Yeah, I never owned a Lamborghini. How? What do you have to feed them?
Oh, I say about $100K a year.
Don't they look kind of like an Afghan? A Lamborghini.
Two bakers a month. Yeah.
Doesn't a Lamborghini look a little bit like an Afghan dog? I don't know.
Tad.
I got to make up for Gar not being here. He's not feeling well, and we're irritated about it. Not because, not at him. It's because of this awful condition. Yep.
Well, Gar, please feel better. Guys, I'm going to go radio silent, so I'll leave it to you to pick because I have to concentrate on the road for a tad.
Yeah, please do that while we start off with, let's go from old to new. What do you say, Dave? We can start off with Lights Out.
If we, yeah, it'd have to be, but in this case, actually, the original was an Arch Obler play, which actually was from 1939, so that would have been the oldest of them.
All right, is that where we'll start then with the Bathysphere?
Let's do that. But you know what? I got a little bit of info on that. Here it is. It was so interesting. This year, Bathysphere, a 1939 play by Arch Obler, was added to the Library of Congress National Recording Registry. This came out 2 years before we joined World War II. Actually, Arch Obler was on the tip of that, wondering why we weren't involved long before we were, as he was watching what Hitler and Germany was doing across Europe. Why we wouldn't become involved in this. This is one such program. Now, this is a little toned down because this is a recreation of that original plays by Arch Obler, and the recording is really good, which is kind of why I chose this one. But it does show of a dictatorship type of a thing, as many of his did during the Arch Obler plays of 1939. He had already abandoned Lights Out. He wanted to be known for something else, and that's when he did some other shows and then came up with plays by Arch Obler. And so that was actually one of the first programs that was ever named after the writer. So just kind of really an interesting bit of information on the Lights Out and plays by Arch Obler himself, who wrote radio plays until about 3 years before he died in the 1970s, I think it was, when the Mutual Radio Theater was on. He has several of those, and I think we've only explored one of them, which was House on Fire. More will come.
More will come ahead. You should see all the stuff Dave has prepared. It's incredible. Let's begin Bathysphere, Arch Obler's plays. You want to give both broadcast dates on this?
I don't really have the original broadcast date. I do have one for Lights Out. But it was 1939 for the original art plays by Arch Obler. For Lights Out, when he recreated it, it was for June 29th of 1943.
Arch Obler's plays.
Go.
Stories of the unusual.
Go.
This is Arch Obler. The ocean's near my home, and as I was watching a number of those skin diving characters, I began to think about the really deep sea and what's in it. The result is tonight's adventure titled Bathysphere.
And now to Arch Obler's adventure story, Under the Sea, Bathysphere.
The sea is very quiet.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Will it be very quiet under the water?
No motion, Your Excellency.
It will all be very amusing.
I hope so. The captain ought to have everything ready by now. If you'll excuse me, Your Excellency, I'll go see.
No, no, just a moment, Doctor.
Yes, Your Excellency.
You are young.
You will learn that the greatest joy of an experience is to savor it before it happens. Yes, stay and talk to me.
As you wish, Your Excellency.
How far under will we have to go to break the record?
Over 7 miles.
How far to the bottom?
Just over the record mark.
Deeper than any man has ever gone. It will be most amusing.
Your Excellency, we are ready.
Well, Captain, you too are impatient, eh?
No, Your Excellency, I mean...
No, don't sputter. Come ahead, my young, impatient friend. We will go aboard your diving bell ship and begin our great adventure. Come.
Bon. You see, Your Excellency, we are quite ready.
Well, Doctor, and it's everything to your satisfaction.
Did you put in an extra oxygen tank?
Si, everything, just as you say, Senor Latour.
The telephone communication.
Tested 20 times.
Searchlight.
I assured you, everything is in order, Senor Latour.
The emergency winch, is it on standby power?
Winch, well, yes, sir, I believe.
I don't want you to believe, I want you to know.
But I assure
you.
Go
and test it at once.
Si, Senor Latour, at once, Senor Latour. And abra porta de linea.
Well, your thoroughness is most commendable, Doctor. The press of the world has known me only as a revolutionist, soldier out of the hills. Perhaps by nightfall, they will herald me as a record breaker in the world of science. Eh, Doctor?
If all goes well, Your Excellency.
If?
The question of the human factor, Your Excellency.
You are as cautious as they said. Excellent. I, too, am a cautious man. Oh, yes, indeed. For example, behind every one of your men on this ship stands a little militiaman with a gun. Your men will be particularly careful on this descent. Eh, Doctor?
There is no doubt of it, sir.
Indeed.
He's all ready now, senor.
Shall we go now, Your Excellency?
Oh, of course.
Careful, Your Excellency. The deck is quite wet here.
You're very thoughtful, Captain.
Thank you, Senor. Attention?
No. No formalities. Let the men go about their business so we can get started.
See, Your Excellency. At your work, men.
No press, no television. And they say I pose in posture.
They are wrong as usual, Your Excellency. See. Would you like to get into the bathysphere first, Your Excellency?
No, after you. Get in, Doctor. I'll follow you.
Yes, sir. Of course, sir.
Head first into a steel ball. Quite without dignity, eh, Captain?
Shall I help you, Senor?
No, I'll make it all right. Ready for me, Doctor?
Come ahead, sir.
All right.
Care for the ball then, sir?
Yes, I... that does it.
You're all right, sir.
Yes, of course. Well, what are we waiting for?
Captain.
Si, Senor.
Close her up.
Si, Senor.
Your ears. Cover your ears.
Eh?
The bolts, the wing bolts, they hold the door shut. They have to be tightened by hammering with the sledge. Cover your ears, sir. It's all right now, sir. They're done.
What a noise. Was there no other way?
Hammering is the only definite guarantee of a watertight seal, sir.
My ears.
All is well in there, senor.
What's that?
The voice to the telephone. They'll communicate with us from the deck every 3 minutes. If one of us does not answer within half a minute, the orders are to pull us up.
An excellent safety precaution. Yes, indeed.
All is well in there, Senor Detour?
All well.
We're moving. We're under.
Yes. I'll turn the oxygen higher.
The light. So green.
Yes. Soon it'll turn blue. Then a darker blue. Until around 2,000 feet, we'll be in a darkness that goes beyond dark. Complete eternal night.
Eternal night under the water. How amusing.
All is well down there, senor?
All well.
How far down are we?
About 1,100 feet.
It's hard to believe it.
There is almost a quarter of a mile of water crushing down on us.
The word crushing is most inappropriate at this time, my young friend.
My apologies, Your Excellency.
A 6-foot ball containing a very earnest young man and the leader of a state. Perhaps when we reach the end of the cable, we will discuss life and death very profoundly. Eh, my friend? Philosophy under the sea? Yes?
All is well down there, senor?
All well.
28,000 feet, senor.
Right. Your Excellency.
Yes?
In 10 or 11 minutes, we'll have broken the record. You keep your eyes so close to the window. Might I ask why?
I thought I saw something out there.
What, sir?
Something huge. Gave off a pale green light and then was gone so quickly. I'm not quite sure.
I'll turn on the searchlight.
No. No. This infernal darkness amuses me. Tell me, Doctor, in your other trips, have you seen anything out there? Vague, huge.
All is well down there, senor.
Tell him yes, yes, and do stop annoying us.
All well.
My compliments, senor Detour. You've reached 35,800 feet.
That was the Trieste record.
Eh?
The old one.
35,900 feet.
Broken it.
36,000 feet.
Doctor, that's quite enough.
36,050 feet.
Doctor, did you hear me? Broken the record in feet to spare. All in the whole of
36,100 feet.
Doctor, are you out of your head? I gave you orders. Help them pull it up. I've had enough of this, I tell you. What was that?
What was that? We just landed at the bottom of the sea, that's all.
Why did you ignore my orders? I said to go up. What are you doing now? What was that lever that you threw? Signal the ship and have them draw us up. Your little adventure is over. Didn't you hear me? I said signal the ship.
How?
You out of your mind completely? Telephone them at once. You hear me?
A telephone consists of a carbon transmitter, receiver, actuating battery, and connecting wire. We have no telephone.
Get to one side. Hello? Hello up there? Hello? Answer me! Hello, hello!
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you answer me! Hello!
You...
They don't answer.
You...
They don't answer!
Ladies and gentlemen, we leave our exciting story, Bathysphere, for just a moment for a word from your announcer.
Gay's not here.
No, well, I'm Dave.
Gay's not here.
There's an interesting thing on here in 39, the original broadcast from Arch Obler's plays, of which this was redone from, obviously. It would feature two rising performers. One was George Zucco, who had been in films for many years in character roles, but was now getting wilder exposure as he had been Professor Moriarty in The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes opposite Basil Rathbone. And joining him was the unknown 22-year-old Hans Conried, whose voice was barely recognizable in that show there. So certainly would go. I think we've heard of the guy. I think he's done a couple things since then. But.
Yeah. More on him as a side note someday. No.
Yeah, it says here that World War II was only 11 weeks old when Bathysphere aired in November 18th of 1939. The United States was neutral at the time, and there had been no major engagements between the Axis and the Allies since Nazi Germany defeated Poland in early October. During this period, sometimes called as the Phony War, Obler imagined a unique dialogue with a representative of aggressors. So that's kind of what this was all based on, Arch Obler's amazing imagination.
I love his works, both in radio, some of the movie stuff he's done. Just great. Good storyteller.
Actually, and also, believe it or not, he also adapted it for television. In 1957, he reworked the script for a television project that was never produced.
No.
The local was changed, and an unnamed country was in South America. But, yeah, he had rewritten it for television. This is probably from 64, this particular recording, when NANA, a radio adventure launched by North American Newspaper Association, offered a selection of radio dramas to stations using updated scripts and new casts for old series, such as Pepper's Young Family and The Fat Man. A new series of Arch Obler's plays was created with a new version of Bathysphere. I'm pretty sure that's what we're listening to here, because the recording is just so good.
Yep. Yeah, it's nice and clean and a really good story. I wonder if CW made it live through traffic. Well, she did say not to worry, but I'm going to anyway.
She's still connected, so at least her phone is still working.
Yeah. That means we still have to behave. Damn.
That's behaving?
No, damn that I have to behave.
Okay, I see.
As best I'm able. Hey, at least I'm to the point where I can blame it on senility, right? We got that.
Well, there you go. You know, another year and you're right there, yeah.
Yeah. 15 more years, I'll be in such bad shape they'll put me in the White House. But anyway.
Ouch. Can we say ouch?
Well, you know what? All of them, though, all these guys, they're old guys. I mean, they're really old guys.
Yeah.
All of them,
yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
And they have, and here's the other thing. Check their net worth before their political career and after their political career on both sides. So
yeah.
Just
yeah.
Think about that. Think about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, when they do it, it's not called inside trading, but we don't want to go there.
Yeah, no. I wonder how many would resign if they stopped the insider trading. Anyway.
Well, they're trying
yeah,
to
I
stop
quit.
That.
I
Some
quit.
People are. Yep.
There's your
yep.
sign. As the old comedian used to say, there's your sign.
Yep.
I forget even who that was.
Bill Ingvall.
Oh, okay. I knew it
friend
was
of,
one of the...
Friend of Jackson. A good friend of Jeff Foxworthy's, as they were on the circuit together a lot, yeah.
The blue-collar guys.
Yes, one of the blue-collar guys.
They were funny.
That
may have
been
the end of country humor right there. You don't hear too many anymore.
No, you don't.
Country humorists.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to Arch Obler's plays, Bathysphere, and maybe... Just maybe, CW will return.
And now we return to Arch Obler's play, Bathysphere. The huge steel ball rests 36,000 feet under the ocean.
The wire is torn loose. Would you know how to fix it, Your Excellency?
What? I see. Oh, happened when we bumped on the bottom, didn't it? Well, can't you fix it?
No.
Turn on the searchlight. All right, I'm quite capable of turning on a switch.
Why waste your time? You've got so little of it left.
What do you mean by that?
The searchlight is disconnected.
Why?
It will be best to die in the dark.
This is impossible. I investigated you, your record, your family, your associates, the clearest record in the state. You haven't the reason or the will to kill me. Kill me? That's really funny. A young, empty-headed fool kill me. Very, very amusing.
You'll be afraid soon.
You fool. Is it possible that you have forgotten the final emergency signal? The signal of silence. They will try the telephone as scheduled, and when we do not answer, they will pull us up.
That lever above the roof that I pulled.
When?
It threw the end of the steel cable free. Yes, severed the cord between ourselves and the ship and the world.
No.
We're here, down here to stay, your infernal excellency.
No, you lie. I don't believe you. They'll pull us up. The telephone. Here, you up there, listen. Get me up. Get me up, you! Up there! Hear me! It's your leader! Get me up out of here! Get me out of here! You hear me? Get me out of here! Out of here!
Unbelievable.
Oxygen left for another hour, and it has taken you 10 precious minutes of your precious life to believe. You do believe you're going to die now, don't you?
I was sure nothing could happen. Every detail of the machinery, the record of every member of the crew.
And I was one of those who was perfectly harmless, huh?
Yes, yes. Your past, since boyhood, trained in the schools of the state, your father, an official. Why do you do this to me?
Why? Answer me! Who and why?
Your mouth will bite for the air.
I will hold in my temper. You will tell me. Why do you do this?
Why? Yes, I'll give you why. Yes, I was trained properly. Yes, no up, down, my head crammed full. But there was one place you and your books and your speeches could not reach. My heart.
You fool.
You wanted answers, so you listened to me. My head said believe. My heart said question.
Ringing in my head.
Of course, the air. I'll turn a little more oxygen on. So, now give me a little more strength to keep on telling you you're wise and cut the breaths left for you after I'm finished. What was I saying? Oh, yes, that you did not condition me quite well enough. You should have started with the embryo, for somewhere, something got inside of me that cried out against what you were doing. It grew and grew until it said you had to die. And you will die. Yes, no drums will roll for you. No marches. End it here. And what have you to say to that?
You fool.
Still fool. Is that all you answer?
Yes, fool.
You think I'm a fool to die here with you? You call me a fool when I know that ending here, I give a new beginning to those up there?
Such a fool!
Stop saying that. They will not say it when they know they're free.
You fool, you think that freeing them of me will make them free?
Yes, of course it will.
I call you fool again. How do you think I became the head of the state? Through my great wisdom? I am really not so wise. Through my great courage? No man has courage of that sort to stand up single-handed against the bullets and the bayonets of the entrenched powers. Then how? How did I do it?
With lies and ruthlessness and cruelty, I know.
You do not know a thing. When a man has expected to die as long as I have, the actuality isn't quite as frightening as you think. Since I'm going to die, I will have the one small satisfaction of showing you that you are an empty-headed fool.
Stop saying that.
Ah, you do have ego. Apparently, it has lived for weeks on how you would make me plead and beg on my knees. Oh, I had a few moments of hysteria, didn't I? And you like that. But you don't like this. My sitting in the dark so calmly, telling you that you are a fool.
I have not failed. You're here.
Listen to me, and I will tell you where you failed. I came into power not alone through my own strength, but because the conditions of our country were such that other men sitting on power came to the decision that I alone could keep them there.
But it was you who started
the... I tell you, listen. When an ancient rule of privilege is threatened, it seeks to live, no matter what the cost. The cost to them was me. And they found me worth it, for I gave to the stupid masses nothing but oratory, sonorous speeches of prejudice and hate that cost the men who made me nothing but the rent of halls where the simple could hear my opiates. And so I call you fool. Fool to die and fool to kill me, for the conditions that made me will still exist when I am dead. No? Then what of hunger? What of ruthless exploitation? These will still be free up there to put desperation and hate into men. And so the ones who gave me power will find new leader to stop the rumblings of rebellion with all the tricks that I have taught them. There will be a new leader. You hear me, fool? A new leader!
No, it is not true. It can't be.
So dark. If I could see your face, the fool
discovering he is a fool.
They will be free. They will.
What magic do you think will come into the air when I'm dead? Will men forget their greed? Will men forget their will for power? No, fool. With me or without me, the game will be played just as it has been played. And so you are a fool and die like one.
What could I have done? I had to do something.
You should have gone on as you were in the protection of your science. Oh, the scientists are the elite of the world now. They can do no wrong. Build small bombs and you are an anarchist. Build great mushrooming destroyers of a city and you are a scientist. Why, if I bothered talking, the air is thick. I am very weary. Hand me something heavy, fool.
Why?
Why? Why? More explanations? All right, the last one. You think I'm going to sit here and wait and count my every breath until the dark is crawling with horror and I am crawling? No, no. I will end it now quickly, yes, faster than a bullet shot. Give me something heavy, I tell you. I will smash the glass, the water, tons of it smashing in. I will be dead faster than the thought. And that will end it. Give me something to smash the glass.
All is well down there, senor. All is well down there, senor.
Voice? Telephone.
All well. Take us up.
Moving. Yes. Water on glass. We're moving. Doctor. The cable?
I lied.
But all this time, why?
My orders to the crew were to leave us alone in the bottom as soon as the slackening of the wire showed them we'd hit bottom.
The telephone.
I reconnected it while you talked.
Then... Oh, then you did not really mean to kill me?
Yes. I meant to kill you. Had it all planned out. Tell you what I told you. And then you would go crazy with fear. And after that, I would kill you.
29,000 feet. All is well down there, senor.
All well.
And yet you did not.
The lights of the creatures out there. Like the blinking of stars on the cold, clear night.
Why didn't you kill me? I want to know.
What would have been the good of it? A fool and a figurehead died together? No good of it.
So? You believed me.
Even a fool can understand futility.
Water is getting lighter. Soon we'll be back up there. It will be very strange at first.
I don't care much now. Yet I will ask it. What happens to me?
You? I told you many things down there, eh? Yes. Too many things. A man in doubt, as I was, talks too much. And since you, of necessity, heard what I said, well, when we get up there, I will probably have you shot. The victim sentences his murderer. It will be most amusing.
I love a happy ending.
This is Arch Obler once more. First, thanks to Ty D., Tommy Cook and Hal Perry. Sound, Bug Tollison. Engineer, Dave Diller. Music, Joe Leahy. Announcer, Byron Kane. For our next play, well, that's also about the sea, but this time the top of it. It's an idea I think is a very intriguing one. When will you die? When will I die? The date. But more of that after a short message. Obler again. About those very crucial personal dates we were talking about. It's the pivotal idea of my next play, Mirage. So join me in our next broadcast, won't you please?
Okay.
Arch Obler's plays.
We'll be here, Arch.
Stories of the unusual.
Thank you, Arch.
Thank you, Arch. Clearly, CW has returned. Huzzah, huzzah. Hail,
yay!
Hail. The gang's all here, other than Gar.
Yeah.
He's here in spirit.
I'm back from
yep.
the woods.
Well, I hope you slapped him good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think I should mention, because we'll have to bring this up a couple of times tonight. We're not on tomorrow.
No.
No, we're moving it to Sunday. Tomorrow, the Erie House radio program will be Sunday instead of Saturday. Go Browns.
Thanks for telling me that. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Oh, it's up there on the Facebooks.
Oh, well, if I've got to go on there.
Hey, got to get the
carrier picture.
Hey, got to get the free advertising, you know?
There you go.
You could have sent.
Yeah, if only we had one.
It's hard to hear understand the words in the yodel sometimes. Let me see. Oh, yeah, here he is. Let me see.
Thank you, Curly.
I understood every word. Every word came to
every
me.
Word.
Was that such a chore, guys?
Understand every other word, so that makes no sense when that happens.
I think
you
it
know.
Says something about goat's milk or or Heidi.
Heidi?
Something like that.
Heidi and her grandpa. I don't know. That or Julie Andrews in the hills there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, yes, Arch Obler, he was really political, but the answer to his question as to why the U.S. didn't get into World War II so quickly is very simple. You had a lot of people who remembered vividly, unlike today, where people have the memory capacity of a snowflake on top of my overheating vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
People remembered very much so World War One. I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people left Europe because they were tired of all of the royal crown heads fighting each other every 25 minutes. They'd had enough.
Yeah.
And the last thing, yeah.
Well, a lot of your Eastern
that,
Europeans, too, were escaping from the expansion of Russia and what have you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When,
like
Lenin,
the Bolsheviks, like a lot of my adoptive family, the grandparents came over in the late teens, just as World War One was breaking out bad over there. They got the heck out of Dodge. They got the heck out of Dodge.
No joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was only, what, maybe 25 years later that we were in the thick of or just about wrapping up World War II. So, yeah, people would remember more the horrors and the guys that came back. There's some interesting videos about that kind of stuff on them YouTubes.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
luckily, World War One was the war to end all wars, so there would never be another war again.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there's that. Wow, what good advertising! Thank you, McMahon and Tate. That was great advertising. I love that slogan.
McMahon and Tate. She drops a bewitched bomb on us. All right. Oh, let's go on to the next one, Dave. What would be next chronologically?
Next chronologically, Let's see. Next chronology would be Dark Fantasy. Dark Fantasy.
All right. Good title here. Certainly underwater kind of stuff. Convoy for Atlantis.
Yes. And that comes to us from episode number 19, the March 27th of 1940 and to
AD.
Dark Fantasy. Convoy.
It clears up.
Weary days. Hot. Nine days. Not a sign of another boat. Another human. Oh, look. Minutes. 9 days. Open boat. I can't believe yet that it's 1934. 9 days ago, I thought I'd get a scoop. How well I remember. I talked Winston Everly into going with me, using his private yacht, far out into the Atlantic, where things were happening. Together we defied precautions, offered ourselves as bait for some unseen devil. Beneath the waters of the Eastern Sea. And that was 9 days ago.
Well? I've been on deck an hour. There's nothing.
I told you it was useless, didn't I?
I'm still not convinced that it is. Something has happened to those three missing ships.
Certainly something has happened to them. They simply sank, that's all.
But it isn't all. It's plain nonsense. Thinking those three boats went down with all hands on board with not a clue to their disappearance. Besides, what about their radios? Not a distress signal was picked up. All three cases.
I know, but that's still not a sign something... Well, something unusual has happened.
Well, just use your head, man. This is 1934. Boats just don't go down in the Atlantic without someone somewhere knowing about it.
These three certainly did. Just disappeared into nothingness without leaving a trace. And I still say something went wrong in each case that can be explained in a natural, normal manner.
And I say that you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, don't be so violent in what you have to say. After all, I've gone this far with you. I might as well see it through.
I'm sorry. Just anxious, that's all.
Yes. So am I. There's no sense biting each other's heads off. We may need them before we're through with this.
I've set the automatic pilot. All's clear.
Good. I'll go up on deck and have a turn at the wheel after a bit. Game of rummy?
Oh, I don't think so, thanks.
Poker?
No, thanks.
Got a cigarette?
Yes, somewhere. That last ship, the SS Clara Anna, went down just about where we are now. The other two, somewhere in this vicinity. Oh, here's a smoke.
Thanks. Why do you say the ships went down in this vicinity, Adams? No one knows where they went down.
What I mean is they were last heard from within a vicinity of, well, 50-mile radius here, all of them.
I admit it would be a strange coincidence for all three of them to disappear in such a small area, but, well, stranger things than that have happened at sea.
It's not a coincidence. Something has happened to those boats which none of us can explain. Something that isn't ordinary.
Mr. Everly.
What's that?
Brown in the radio room on the talkback system.
Mr. Everly.
Hand me that microphone, will you, Adams?
Sure, here.
Yes, Brown?
Just got a report that all passengers on those three remaining ships have been reported safe.
You mean the boats have been found?
No, sir. The passengers from all three ships were set adrift in the lifeboats.
Well, what's happened to them?
Well, none of them seem to know. They're all in perfect health, though. But they're all in a stupefied condition, as though they've been drugged.
That's strange. Any further news?
No, sir, none. I just picked it up from the news broadcast from the States.
Thanks, Brown.
Now, what do you think, Eberly?
Strange. All hands from all three ships set adrift in the lifeboats, and none of them knowing what happened to them.
And all of them in a drug condition.
That doesn't make sense. No one could drug three boatloads of passengers.
Through the drinking water?
Half of them don't drink water when they're aboard.
Still, they were drugged.
But how, man? How?
That's another mystery I'd like to clear up.
Then perhaps you can.
What?
I say,
where did you come from? Who are you?
My name is Siegfried.
How did you get on board?
Where did you come from?
One question at a time, if you please. I came on board in the same manner I've boarded the other boats lately.
The others?
The three others.
You. You're responsible for what happened to those boats?
Yes, I am.
But how? Why?
I needed them for my own purposes.
You destroyed them?
I sent them to the bottom of the Atlantic.
I repeat, you destroyed them?
Quite the contrary. I used them to a very good advantage.
What do you mean?
Would you like to know?
I certainly would.
Then I shall be glad to show you, if you wish. It will entail a trip to the bottom of the sea.
You're talking like a madman.
Am I? I regret you think so, because I assure you I am by no means demented in the slightest degree.
Those people set adrift in the lifeboats, apparently drugged. What happened to them?
It's naturally best that they do not know what happened to them. They were not harmed. They were carefully guarded against danger, and no harm shall come to them.
But the boats?
The cost of the boats and the inconveniences which naturally arise through their loss have all been taken care of. And each passenger has been repaid 10 times for everything he was forced to leave behind when placed in the lifeboat.
I don't understand all this. Who are you anyway?
I shall tell you soon. But now we must make haste. Time is most valuable.
What are you going to do?
You told me you wished to see what I did with the three boats. I'm ready to grant your wishes and to take you to the depths of the Atlantic.
But,
You see, I need your boat.
My boat?
Yes. I've come to take it. I welcome you to go along with me, if you wish.
But where? What are you going to do with the boat?
I've already told you I need it. Together with the others, I have use for it. At the bottom of the sea.
Ah, that's perfectly ridiculous. No one has need for a boat down there.
I have.
How do you propose to take us there?
I cannot tell you that. You will merely do as I say. I will take you down beneath the surface safely, and I will return you safely.
How can we be certain of that?
I have given my word. You will find that the word of Siegfried always has been kept. Down through the ages, the centuries.
Centuries?
Hundreds of thousands of centuries.
Do you mean that you're actually a creature from the bottom of the sea?
I'm a man like you. I'm not a creature. Here, drink this.
What's that?
Merely what I gave the others. It's quite harmless.
I don't want it. Take it away.
I assure you that if you don't consume the potion of your own will, I have the means of seeing to it that you do.
Better do what he says, Everly. Here. I'll take the first draft.
You're a wise man, Mr. Adams.
Oh. You know my name.
I know everything. Now the potion.
As agreed. All right.
Now, Mr. Eberly, your radio man and mechanic have already been set adrift. They will arrive safely ashore within a few days. None the worse for their experience. Mr. Eberly?
No. No, no, I won't take it. Take it away. Get away from me.
It's too late to change your mind now. You will drink all of this.
No, 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 I don't want it.
I give you one more opportunity.
No, I refuse. I'm no fool. I won't take it.
Very well, then, Mr. Eberly. There.
What have you done to...
I told you I had the means of compelling you to take the mixture. Now it's well with both you and Mr. Adams. I shall take your boat and the two of you along with it.
Whatever floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat, buddy. I'll tell ya.
Well, you're in the water, you better have a boat that floats.
Yeah. Convoy for Atlantis. from Dark Fantasy. I was surprised, Dave, when you brought it to my attention. I learned something that this is, what, early 50s, late 40s, Dark Fantasy?
Actually, this is like 42, yeah.
42? Yeah, every yeah. time I relearn what you taught me, I'm even more shocked because the quality and the storytelling
was
a lot different, I think, for what was out there at that time.
Another one rare would be the science fiction type storytelling at this time would be The Mysterious Traveler.
Yes.
He did a lot of those types of stories where nobody else was touching that. You know, it really wasn't until the 50s that science fiction became much more mainstream.
Yes. At least in the cool circles. And we lost CW.
Yeah.
She's back. I don't know if she's here yet. Maybe. Or she's driving. Who knows?
But, these are Halls of Fantasy, again, that was more in the 50s. But, yeah, it's really nice to hear these anthology programs that sneak in a little bit of science fiction.
Yep.
And as I do this hinting, tomorrow's Radio Mystery Theater is another H.G. Wells adaption.
Oh, yes. That won't be tomorrow, though. It'll be Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sunday. Yep. Yep.
Don't forget.
There's plans for tomorrow, but...
Yeah. Hopefully it'll go our way. Two of us are rooting for the Cleveland Browns in a playoff game. It's win-or-go-home time.
It is.
Yeah.
And they don't have good weather to come home to, so they might as well go ahead and win, right?
Yeah. That's true. And they're very likely to be on the road for the rest of it, too. But we shall see.
Yeah, unless one of the other – if we play any of the – if any of the other wild cards survive and we play them, then it would be –
then
we
get a home game. I don't even think that's possible anymore. Because I think the way the playoffs go, if we win – and that would mean that the only other wild card team would be the Steelers win. The Steelers would have to play the Ravens because they would have the worst record.
That's right.
The best.
Yeah.
So we are not getting a home game. But that's okay. That's okay.
Just to have the games. Yep.
Just to be in the dance. Just to be invited to the dance. Even if it's with the ugly date. I almost said something to get myself in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Better stop.
Yeah. It's the, at least you get to go to the dance. So that's always
so
good
true.
Thing.
So true.
Always a good thing. Convoy for Atlantis. Let's wrap it up. Who knows what kind of bonus material you might get tonight at the pace we're going. Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Are you quite all right now, Mr. Adams?
Yes.
The goat's great.
Where are we?
Where I promised to take you. At the bottom of the Atlantic.
Strange here.
Light.
Like the light above. This is almost like the place up there. Surely you're jesting. This is no spot beneath the sea.
Oh, but I assure you it is, definitely. Ah, your stubborn companion is about to rejoin us.
What's happened? Oh, Adams, are you all right?
Yes, he's quite all right. And you, sir?
What in the world did you do to us?
I gave both of you an ancient formula, one which induces your spirit to leave your body momentarily. Then I brought you here and permitted your spirits to return again.
But where are we?
You are 50,000 leagues beneath the sea.
Why, we can't be.
So your companion thought, Mr. Heberley. You're both mistaken.
There's no water, no seaweed, no sign of underwater creatures.
No, indeed. And that's because you've been brought not to just an ordinary place.
What do you mean? What place is this?
This is the ancient continent of Atlantis.
Atlantis, you say? I've never heard of the place.
That's because you're not a student. Your friend, Mr. Adams, seems to know quite a bit about it.
Yes.
an ancient continent, once located in the Atlantic Ocean, thousands upon thousands of years ago.
And which disappeared beneath the surface of the Atlantic.
But that sinking of the continent began more than a million years ago, according to our scientists.
And so it did. Slowly, over thousands of years, Atlantis began to decline, to be claimed by the waters. And new lands began to rise. South America, your continent, they had no existence in the days of Atlantis. And far to the west lay the mighty land of Mu.
But what about you?
Well, finally, after hundreds of thousands of years, all of Atlantis had been consumed by the hungry waters, except the island of Posidonis, so named after the god of the sea.
Yes, I know that. Posidonis was destroyed by a volcanic eruption.
Not destroyed entirely, but the volcano's disturbance sent our land far beneath the sea, and that was 9,000 years before the death of Plato.
11,000 years ago.
Yes, roughly speaking.
But you say this land of yours wasn't actually destroyed.
No. There were in our land wise men from Greece, and together with our wise ones, they foresaw the volcanic disturbance and the sinking of Posidonis.
Yes. This is the ancient island of Posidonis, home of mighty Atlantis.
Yes.
And you have existed here all this time.
There is no time here. No death. Only life.
Amazing.
Now we're fighting to preserve our life, our civilization. After these 11,000 years, our existence is threatened by the vicious waters.
What do you mean?
I mean, we suddenly found ourselves without sufficient materials to keep our underwater fortress safe against the water's destruction.
Wait a minute. Now I'm beginning to understand.
We needed metal, and lots of it, to use for reinforcing the portions of our continent which was threatened by the water.
And that's where the three ships went, and Eberle's yacht.
That's correct, Mr. Adams. In our desperation, I saw no other solution. I chose the boats containing the most metal, went aboard, and saw to the complete safety of the passengers. And then our men brought the ships down here to be dismantled and to salvage the metal. Here, I will show you.
A sliding panel there. Half of a room sliding away.
You see out there? The men of Atlantis putting the final touches upon the patchwork that will make our fortress secure for hundreds of years to come, thanks to the metal from your continent.
Why, this place is just as modern and advanced as our civilization.
You will find in many instances that it's more advanced. Now I will show you that we are as honest and as upright as any other people of the world.
This is the treasure room of Atlantis. Harvey, look! Jewels, gold and silver, treasures of every sort here.
The room is completely filled with valuable treasures.
Each passenger on those boats we confiscated received a portion from our treasure room, enough to more than repay him for whatever loss he suffered. And the boat owners were paid double the value of their vessels. When you return to the surface above, you will be given a portion likewise in payment for your yacht, Mr. Eberle.
I've never seen quite so many valuables together in one place in all my life.
Oh, come now. I've shown you the explanation of what has been happening. It's time we refresh ourselves, and time you were preparing for your return journey.
I knew I could find my way back to this vault. Just look at the treasure hidden here. Chest upon chest of beautiful jewels. Necklaces of pearls. Beads of precious jade. Loose gems and some set in the finest gold. Oh, And over there, bar upon bar of gold and silver, and some strange metal here I've never seen before. Oh, 100,000 fortunes hidden here, where no one will ever use them. The door, the light. Everly, are you in there?
Adams?
Yeah, I've been looking for you. Is there any light in here?
Yes, just a second.
What are you doing in this treasure room?
That fellow who calls himself Siegfried says we'll leave here soon, and I'm taking some of this treasure with me.
But he said you were to have a portion of it.
Yes, in paper.
There's enough with you?
I'm taking some he won't know about.
But you can't. It's not right.
What difference does it make? No one can use this stuff. Might as well take some of it where it gems as I can. I know I have the 11,000 years, huh? He's about in his 11,000th childhood, I'd say. Here, hold these diamonds.
But I don't want any part of this.
I'll take care of getting them away from here.
Everly, I advise you not to do this. Listen, you came, you. You could not conquer the worldly desire to steal our treasures.
You'll never use them.
Nonetheless, they still belong to us.
Why not let us take them where they'll do us some good? They're useless laying here.
I had intended to give each of you enough of the treasure to make you wealthy me from doing so.
Look here, Siegfried.
Those are loved to Adams, known better than 10,000 years ago in vice. Kill the same greed and sin and iniquities, included all evil. And so I gladly send you back where you vote to pay for your... You get nothing. Before you reach the safe of torture...
Days adrift. Long weary days. Big sun. Or food. Unconscious from the bottom of the...
Moving. Lifting his head. Everly.
Oh.
Everly, man.
Oh.
Everly. Steady, man.
Oh, will this never end? Will torture never end?
Easy, man. Take it easy.
A month? 10 years?
Only 9 days.
9 days. Only 9 days. I can't stand it, Harvey. I can't stand it any longer.
Save your strength, man.
I'm going mad. I can't stand it. There in the bottom of the boat. The chest of treasure and payment for my yacht.
Everly! Everly!
What good will it do now? We'll be dead when we reach shore. Oh, no, we'll be dead.
Steady.
But nobody else will get it.
What are you going to do?
There won't be left here for anybody else. I'll see to it that no one else gets his hands on it.
Everly!
He cheated us out of the rest of that treasure.
Everly, don't jump!
No one else will get this.
Everly!
I'll take it!
Everly!
Dark.
Bummer.
Fantasy.
You have heard Convoy for Atlantis, tonight's original tale of dark fantasy by Scott Bishop, originating in the studios of WKY, and based upon an idea suggested by Ken Wright. Ben Morris was Harvey Adams, Murillo Schofield took the part of Winston Eberle, and Garland Moss was Siegfried, ruler of Atlantis. Next Friday, Dark Fantasy will be heard over most of these stations 25 minutes earlier. Listen for The Thing from the Darkness, from Oklahoma
Ooh.
City.
That sounds intriguing. The Thing from the Darkness.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I get that one scheduled up or not. I have to check that out.
Yeah. I forgot to check for a moral.
You know what? I kind of had one for the last one. I don't know I had one for this one. Kind of had one for the last one, sort of.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out as we go. But an interesting tale from Dark Fantasy.
Yes, it was indeed. You know, the thing is that the ones from the 40s, although more, you know, adult in nature than, you know, like your Buck Rogers and things like that, they were sometimes almost so futuristic they didn't seem realistic, where when you got into the X-minus ones, the people there seemed so much more real people. But I'm not, that's nothing against the 40s. I love some of the stuff that that they did. And some shows like this and the Arch Oblers and things like that. Arch Oblers people were more real too.
Yeah.
Anyways, Arch Obler was like, without necessarily the surprise ending, but Arch Obler did more of more about regular people in an unusual circumstance, which is what Rod Serling, but Rod Serling always had the twist at the end as well. And Norman
their characters
Corwin,
were relatable too. I mean, they weren't like cartoon characters. They were actual people, seemingly.
The names have been changed to protect no one in particular.
Yeah. Yep.
But, yeah, so I guess that's kind of what I feel is the difference between the 40s, most of the stuff in the 40s, and when it turned into the 50s, they become... They became more humanistic, maybe. I don't know if that's the word I want, but they were sympathetic, more sympathetic characters, people, regular people in ordinary, extraordinary circumstances.
Yes.
So, but it's good stuff. Don't get me wrong. I was not complaining.
Nope. And I don't think you'll complain about our next feature. Is this a first time for Erie House Radio? The Seventh Dimension? Yeah.
Kind of a interesting program I followed out of the BBC. And some of them were full dramatizations. And others were just one person doing a reading. So that's kind of what made this thing. But this was a full cast episode here that I ran upon, which I, matter of fact, this is the reason I started looking for these other shows to share about the Trouble in the Deep, was because of this show, this particular episode here of the Seventh Dimension.
Yeah. Commie title. Commie title. Vostok or Vostok. Vostok.
Yeah. Vostok. Yeah.
Vostok. Yeah.
We don't have an exact date for it, but we do have an era it ran.
Okay.
They were weekly on Sundays at 6 p.m., and they ran from the 21st of April to the 9th of June 2019. So.
Oh, wow. This is very recent then.
This is pretty recent, yeah. Coming to you from BBC Radio 4.
Alright, and again, here's Vostok Part 1.
Vostok by Bill Murphy.
This is Bob Gunning, reporting live from the Russian Antarctic Research Station, Vostok, one of the most isolated, coldest, and windiest places on Earth. However, 4 kilometers under the ice beneath us is one of the world's largest freshwater lakes. An expedition is to be launched tomorrow, where a submersible with a crew of 3 will travel through the ice cap in an ice drilling machine and then descend into the frigid waters of the subglacial lake. This represents years of preparation by the man behind the mission, billionaire adventurer Nils Skalar Grimson, who joins me now. Mr. Skalar Grimson.
Nils on TV again?
Yeah, all the networks.
It's turning into a media circus.
Yes, Nils for you. Can't resist a camera.
Well, I just hope he remembers this is a scientific expedition, not some publicity stunt.
I'm not sure Nils knows the difference sometimes. Yes,
Are we still sticking with the launch time?
Yep, tomorrow, 0600 hours. As far as I'm concerned, we should just go down, get our samples, and get the heck out of there.
It's not as straightforward as that.
Well, maybe it should be.
Lake Vostok is one of the most isolated places on the planet, with a unique and fragile ecosystem. We have to be careful not to contaminate the lake, and make sure we leave it as unspoiled as we found it.
Well, Lancius has been treated with supercritical fluids. Contamination should be minimal.
I still laugh when I hear that name. Huh? Lincius. How did he come up with that?
How many times have I got to tell you? Lincius is...
One of the Argonauts. Hey. I know. He could see all the way to the center of the Earth. I remember.
Well, I'm not worried about the name of the sub. I just want to make sure she withstands the pressure.
Can Lincius handle it?
I hope so.
You hope?
Look, Anna, this is Neil's baby. Right from the start, I didn't have that much input into the design of the sub or its systems. No matter how good the Lincius is, there's always a risk.
I know, but I've studied marine life in some of the remotest areas in the world, from the Galapagos to the Arctic Ocean, but Vostok, there is nothing like it in the world. And we'll be the first humans ever to enter its waters.
Exactly. That's why we're all prepared to take the risk. Now, I don't want to miss it.
Well, we did find traces of bacteria in the ice core just above the lake. So maybe we might just find something similar down there.
Are we going to find anything larger than bacteria?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Can't really see how they could survive in such extreme conditions.
Well, yeah, I've seen those tube worms. Some up to a few meters long around thermal vents in the Pacific.
Riftia pacipitula.
Yeah, I knew that.
Extremely unlikely in Vostok, I would say.
Oh, Niels thinks of... or hopes that volcanic activity on the lake could produce enough heat in the water to sustain all sorts of life.
Anything is possible. But like I said, very unlikely. If anything, it might provide an interesting energy source for microorganisms of a novel metabolic phylogenetic type.
Phylo what?
Phylogenetic. Well, basically a different form of life than we would find anywhere else.
Oh, that's why you're going down? Just to see if there's some tiny microbe, which you can't see without a microscope, that can't be found anywhere else?
Oh, microbiologists are easily pleased. Why do you want to go down?
You see, I grew up in Oklahoma. The ocean was more than 1,000 miles away, and my granddaddy said that if you drained the sea of all its water, it looked like the landscape around us. Now, from that point on, I was hooked.
The bigger question, I suppose, is why Neil's just doing it?
Yeah, I guess it's his dream. He can afford it.
Base, this is Lincius.
Please confirm we are at injection point.
What depth are they coming?
Telemetry shows 4105.6 meters below us.
Begin injection startup sequence.
Sequence running. 50 seconds and counting.
We confirm, Dave. The Lincius is ready to punch through the ice cap.
Injection startup sequence running. 40 seconds to injection on my mark. Mark, please confirm.
Confirmed.
Well, Neil, your dream is about to come true.
Thank you, Dave. It's taken many years to get to this point. Exploring Lake Vostok has been one of my aims that, as you say, is about to be realized. Anna, as a microbiologist, you also have much to discover here.
My instruments are already recording data from a subsurface probe. The trajectory of the Lincius is as we discussed.
Of course.
We'll be traveling down the northern basin wall, Anna.
Dave, I'm feeding some new coordinates into the navigation computer.
As we go down, I'd like to get some samples of the ice wall. Could hold some interesting organisms.
As agreed, Anna.
Lincius, please stand by. Injection in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mark.
Everything all right, Dave?
Yeah, that's just Lincius letting us know who's boss. The hydraulic arm is pushing us through the final layer of ice, all within the tolerance of the sub.
What's happened?
Anna? Niels? Welcome to Lake Vostok.
Undocking in 3, 2, 1, mark.
Base, we are
Roger, we confirm. Checking all feeds now.
Let's get the sonar on.
Yeah, hold on, yes.
Power, comm, telemetry, and biometric monitor feeds all okay. You'll go to power up the sub.
Hitting primary power switch. Base running onboard systems check.
Okay.
Primary controls check. Thrusters powered. Hannah, instrumentation?
All online. Depth showing 4,351 meters below surface of ice sheet. Cabin pressurization steady.
How are the sensors, Niels?
Up and running. Plotting the contours of the lake. Scanning sonar online.
Okay. You can power the external lights and cameras.
Okay.
Look at it. The most isolated environment on the planet.
Hmm. How about that?
What we're seeing on the video feed?
Roger, all video feed's been recorded. Looks great, guys. All systems normal?
Can't believe it, we're in. By the look of things, neither can they. All systolic heart rates elevated.
Hardly surprising, my own heart's pounding. Cabin pressure okay?
Yeah, all stable. Oxygen mix abnormal.
Okay, Dave, ready to take her down? Everything looks good from here.
Roger. Adjusting hydroplane trim and engaging the thrusters. Hold on your seats, people. Here we go. Dive, dive, dive.
Gyro showing angle of 47 degrees.
Rate of descent 4 meters per second.
Sonar shows ice wall dead ahead. Yes, there it is. Amazing. 40 million years old.
Could hold organisms from when the ice cap froze over the lake. Dave, can you stop to deploy the collector arm to take a water and ice sample?
Not yet. I want to get down to about 200 meters.
But we must get a sample as soon as we can in case we have to turn back.
I'm well aware of that, Anna.
No,
I haven't spent 15 million pounds of my own money just to go sightseeing. Take it down to 200 meters, Dave.
All right, you're the boss.
200 meters, then you can stabilize.
Pitching down.
.4 meters. 198.5 meters.
Base?
GPS shows you should be at the location.
What are you talking about?
Okay, we can start leveling out now, Dave. We'd collect the first sample here.
Leveling out, cutting back thruster power. Whoa. Now hold on.
You guys okay down there?
What was that?
Not sure. We're okay. We're okay. We're stabilizing.
What happened down there? The gyro reading jumped a bit.
Felt like turbulence.
Are you kidding? All the way down here?
I don't understand it, Pete. What would cause water movement like that?
Stabilizing. We're okay, base. Check the tether line.
Lincius, tether line secure. No problems as far as we can see.
Okay. Sample collection procedure initiated.
Collection complete. 10 liters of pure lake water.
Confirmed depth?
203.6 meters.
Good.
Drifting sideways slightly. Compensating with thrusters. Yeah, I'd be a lot happier if we were in open water.
Just keep her steady.
Turning on organic probe and fluorescent fiber optics. Test streams coming through. Yes, we are getting traces. Organic compounds present. Congratulations, everyone. We may not be the only carbon-based creatures down here.
Okay, good. Let's go deeper and take a sample of ice from the ice wall.
Pitching down. Jagged outcrust of ice as we go deeper. A lot of ledges.
Just keep going, Dave. Slowly and carefully.
Lincius, you have a target 40 meters below you and closing on your position at 5 meters per second.
I see it on the sonar.
30 meters directly under you, Dave.
Thrusters at full power.
Camera's not picking anything up.
You have to get out of the way.
I can see something. Directly under us.
It's huge. I'm right at us.
10 meters in closing.
It's going to hit us. Come on.
It's like a huge block of ice.
Turn, damn you.
5 meters. Here it comes.
It's no good. The controls, they need to stop.
Lincius.
This is Vase. Can you read me? Dave. Niels. Lincius, come in.
The power's cut. There's no way of...
Vase. This is Lincius.
Are you all right?
It was just like a huge block of ice.
We're okay. Stand by, Vase.
Of course. A clathrate.
A what?
Pockets of gas trapped in the ice. They occur in cold, deep, high-pressure waters. Very unstable when disturbed. And very dangerous.
I'm calling this mission off. It's too risky.
Now, hold
on. If the clathrate had hit us directly, we would be dead. You understand? And we're going back up.
Look at that.
What is it, Anna?
We're here.
What?
There is a gap in the ice. Look.
Vase, I think we found the fissure.
GPS confirms.
We think the fissure leads to another lake.
Another lake?
Satellite studies we ran last year suggested the possibility, but we couldn't be sure.
We? You mean you and the boys on the surface?
Look, we felt it wasn't crucial to the expedition.
What?
If we came across a fissure along the ice wall, then it might be worth exploring.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
Come on, we're wasting time. Take us through.
What other information haven't you shared with us?
Dave, take Lynch's through. Now.
Okay. Base, we're going through.
Roger that, Lincius. Good luck.
According to the readout, it's a tight squeeze. But you should be able to get through.
Anna, keep an eye on the port side. This is crazy, Niels.
Just keep going.
We have about a foot to stay on this side.
If we break off one of the thrusters on the ice, we could be stuck here forever.
You're doing just fine.
Damn you, Niels. We're okay.
That was close.
Yeah, too close. Can't risk another one of those.
There should be a 60-degree turn to port.
Yeah, I see it. Stabilizing.
We are through.
Is it part of Vostok or is it another lake?
Base, this is Lincius. We're out.
Good job, Dave.
Yeah, right.
Sonar on.
Are you looking for something?
Niels? Is there something down there?
You're picking this up, Base?
Yeah, solid object. Static. 38 meters below you.
Take us down. 40 meters.
Are we sure about this? It could be just a rocky outcrop.
Come on, let's go.
Now, I don't like this.
Where's your sense of adventure, Dave? We have to go and check it out. Take us down.
Oh, Vostok. That was part one from the seventh dimension.
So where's your sense of adventure? It's here on Eerie House Radio.
Right where it belongs. In the trash barrel. No. Not really.
Well, I can't leave you guys alone for a minute, can I?
Nope.
Hopefully not.
We're impossible creatures.
Sorry, I had to, I stepped into the store, and when I came out, I couldn't find the vehicle, so I had to shovel for it.
Oh. Well, it's better than having it stolen, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
When you're kidding, you got insurance if they steal it.
I used to have cars I
put in your vehicle. Stolen. Yeah.
He said, drive around with a steal me sign.
Yeah. It wouldn't do it unless you put on there, I dare you. Steal me, I dare you.
I dare.
You haven't got the guts. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
I dare you.
Double dog dare you. Yeah.
I dare you. Especially since if I have manual transmission, good luck. 99.9% of the people don't know how to drive a stick anymore.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know Gar was looking for one. He's kind of looking to perhaps replace his vehicle. And he was looking for a stick, and I said, good luck, buddy. My brother was looking for one, too, and he just ended up giving up looking for a new car with a stick.
Oh, my gosh. In all honesty, I don't drive manual transmission. I know how, but... When I was hunting for a new vehicle, I went to that place where you can they have all their vehicles online, and I went to the lot, and the five vehicles that we saw all had manual transmission, all of them.
Really?
And I said, yeah. I said, what's wrong with your computer? I don't want a manual transmission.
Yep.
I had one. I think every guy should at least have one of the earliest cars be in a manual transmission. So at least you know how to do it. A couple times I've had to jump in to move something because nobody else really could move a manual transmission.
So Dave stole a semi.
I do prefer the automatic transmission myself. But I can drive
one. That makes sense. I thought that 18-wheeler looked a little strange when it was jackknifing up and down the highway.
Yep. He had the theme from Smokey and the Bandit playing. Oh, yeah. tooling down the road.
Really? Not convoy? Yeah, we got a great big convoy rocking through the night.
Oh, we got
a great big convoy.
You've got to look that
up. You're welcome
up.
For that earworm.
That's a it's an eye worm for us too. It's a memory worm because one of our classic horror hosts, Superhost, did a great lip synced it and did a little skit to it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they did a lot of Cleveland. Big Chuck did a lot of Ray Steven numbers and such.
Yeah, they did Guitarzan and.
Guitarzan and the Streak.
Troglodyte. Gotta find a woman.
And Bridget the Midget, the Queen of the Blues.
Yep.
Oh, I just saw the vehicle I want. One of those little mini shovelers that they use in the parking lot. Those are little cool things.
Well, go run it down. It's yours.
I have to laugh. When you say shoveler, because I just watched Mystery Men the other night. A shovel.
Oh gosh!
I love that
movie. I want to cosplay the bowler.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
I would
which one of our heads are you going to rip off to be Carmine?
Well,
I'll
think on that for a bit.
Oh, dear.
Let's see.
Oh,
where's my tape? Where's my tape measure?
I'm in trouble.
Oh, yes, you
butchered.
Are.
Perhaps
I'll be the blue. I'll wear an orange outfit and call myself the Blue Raj.
Yes. Or the Green Raj. Or anything but whatever color you're wearing. I did not realize until much later that was Frank Azaria.
Yeah.
Or Hank.
Yeah.
Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria.
I'll be. That was
something. Yeah.
That was a star-studded.
It's so cool.
Pee-wee was easy to spot.
He was.
Paul Rubens.
The spleen.
The spleen.
Yeah. There's a superpower. Oh.
Oh, silent but deadly. Ew.
Yeah.
another good reason to always have a mask.
Yes. yeah. There's some people and some situations, yeah. Mask required, please.
Yes. Biohazard, actually. Biohazard suit, thank you.
Biohazard. Oh, good heavens.
Yeah, the thing about manual transmission, both my parents knew how. My father, we rented a car once because we had to, I forgot why, I think our vehicle was being serviced, and we had to, because both my parents worked, between taking care of me, you know, okay, which one of us takes care of her? Okay, let's flip a coin. Okay, but
did the winner get you or the loser?
That's still debated within the family, but I digress.
He
didn't have a problem going back and forth from manual to automatic, but my mother, it took her some time to remember her skills. Now, this is not, don't hate on female drivers. I'll have none of that. But it just took a while. And I remember that there was a lot of crunching for some reason when shifting occurred.
Kind of grinding them gears, yep.
Yep.
I know second gear is around here somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, people would always shout, find them, don't grind them.
Yep, yep.
As somebody went by.
Especially when we were going up a hill.
That always scared me. Going up a hill always scared me, and it wasn't the hill. It was the light halfway up the hill that scared me.
But I was trained on a simulator. Our high school had simulator machines to train you how to drive.
How cool.
Yes, they were really nice. Yes, you were going down the highway. We had actually one full session with a stick, and the stick wasn't on the floor. For some reason, it was on the steering column.
Hmm.
Yeah, many cars had them on
the tree
column.
We call that three in the tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, most of us ended up in a ditch, up a tree, doing a 180 on the simulated highway. There was one guy, he was just shifting and just going crazy. And I was just looking at him, and I didn't say anything to him, but he was just shifting away. Apparently, he had no trouble with it at all. Later on, I asked, how do you do that? I said, you know, video game. Okay.
There you go.
You know what? Our driver's ed machines in school, they were always like 2.5 seconds behind the video. So if you watched enough on the screen, you could tell what to do before the car registered it.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. That's what they call a cheat, I believe.
Yeah.
In
gaming. So what's your point?
That's a
what's
hack.
Your point? What's your point?
Yeah.
Well, you could
point?
Call it a hack. Yeah, you could.
What's your point?
Again, what's your point?
Nothing.
Why?
No
why is the Saturday show being put into Sunday? Are you both going to a little soiree or something?
No, there's a very important event going on Saturday night.
Yes.
That we have to partake of. Yes.
Locally.
Yeah, it's called the NFL playoffs, and the Browns have been.
Are you telling me?
This is their third trip here in 19. Actually, more than that, since the team came back in 1999, but before that, it was another 1, 2, 3 years they weren't on, then another 2 years before that. So you're talking 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 years, almost a quarter of a century since they've been in the playoffs three times.
Yeah.
This is the first.
Holy
nothing.
Moly.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is not a minor thing, I take it.
Oh, no. No. Yeah.
Very special. And it's like a fluky, wild ride all year. And we'll take it because typically our town has experienced terrible luck in various ways.
Well, in pretty much all sports, yeah.
Yeah, true.
Let's put it this way, CW. The last time this town before the Cavaliers beat the Golden State Warriors for the basketball championship, the last time this team had won a championship was in 1964 before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super
Bowl. They were the football
champs. There was no
Super
Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was the last time we had a championship in this town until the Cavaliers.
Yeah, with three major sports. Not cool. We were getting tired, man. We were getting tired.
No. Come on, you couldn't have been as bad as, what was it, the Chicago Cubs when they finally won World Series after, what, was 100 years?
I think it was about 100, yeah.
Yeah, and we weren't much better. They were playing us, and we hadn't won it since 1949.
Yep.
But they got all the press because it had been longer for them. And if it hadn't been for that blasted rain delay, we probably would have won that game, this Game 7.
Yep.
The rain delay wiped us out because we were short two starting pitchers, and all the starting pitchers were just exhausted.
Yep.
Wow.
And one,
yeah. Speaking
and
of
another
positive,
one cut half his finger off playing with droids there. So yeah. Anyway,
ew.
That's why we have moved the show to Sunday. Uh-oh. Sunday.
This is Howard Cosell from the great beyond. My hair actually grew back. I'm not alive, but I have hair, so who's complaining?
Yeah, Dale's not. Anyway, before everybody forgets what happened in the first half, we better play the second half, Dale.
Yeah, let's rip up Vostok from Seventh Dimension. Where were we?
Niels, we're nearing the limits of what Lincius can do.
What are we looking for?
Keep going.
There!
It looks metallic.
That's it. That's it.
It's another submersible.
Well, how can that be?
Baze, are you seeing this?
Yeah, we see it. You got it. You found it.
And what, Niels?
The Rostov.
You knew about this all along.
Why didn't you tell us about this?
This is quite beautiful. The freezing water has preserved it well. What are you doing, Dave? We need to get closer.
I'm turning around.
You can't!
Yes, I can, and I will. Unless you tell us what's going on. Well?
The last transmission from the Russian Navy sub, Rostov, was on October 23rd, 1987. It was a scientific expedition to find traces of life in Lake Vostok.
What happened?
Nobody knows for sure. But it collided with something and was never seen again. Until now. The Soviets kept it quiet from the world. The three crewmen were lost. But I had heard a rumor about it. And when the old USSR fell apart... Well, let's just say some more information came available for price.
You've been planning this for years. To recover the sub?
Why? Why all this money and effort?
Let's just go closer to the Rostov. And then maybe I can answer all your questions.
Okay. This is as close as I dare get. She's teetering on that ice ledge. I can't risk her falling off into the depths. Look, we'll never get to her.
It was one of the most advanced submersibles of its time.
Those gushes in the side of it. Did they just collide with the ice wall or...
No, maybe. But look at the impact marks. They don't look like the ones you'd get by crashing against the ice. It's weird.
I can't see the crew. Not from this distance.
Can we get a little closer?
No. It's too dangerous. Rostov is too unstable. The ice ledge could collapse at any time. I'm not risking the Lincius.
This isn't your sub.
I know it's not, but you hired me to pilot it.
And you are being paid handsomely for it.
It's not worth putting our lives at risk.
What about a few degrees to port, Dave? We could then see inside the sub with the robot camera.
We have to find out what happened.
And then we're out of here.
And then we go.
I don't believe I'm doing this. Anna, you keep a lookout on the port side. Nils, you take the starboard. Now make sure the light gantries don't get caught up in the wreckage. There's a lot of loose cabling.
That's it. Just a little closer.
I can almost see inside.
What could have caused such damage? Every part of it is mangled.
She's shifting. The thrusters are causing too much water turbulence.
You're there. We can see inside.
There are no bodies. Nothing but twisted metal. What happened to the crew? There is nothing left of them.
The ledge is collapsing. Reversing thrusters, full power.
What's the cave
here? Yeah, I see it.
They're going down. The cable on the turnaround.
We're not going down without a fight. Auxiliary power thrusters.
The arm has broken off. The Rostov is falling away.
Vincent, are you clear?
Roger, Mace. We're clear. She's falling. She's gone. I can't see it anymore.
I told you we were.
I can't believe it. There is something fast approaching from beneath. 90 meters. 70 meters.
What?
I can't see it.
It's heading straight for us. Its signature is different. It can't be a class rate. They can't move that quick.
Full power.
20 meters. 10 meters.
Move it. That's right.
Dave, look at it.
Come on.
We've been hit. All data streams, telemetry, and comms are down. The tether may have been severed in the impact.
Lintius, can you read me?
I'm getting a signal from the transponder, complete with data block.
Has he got their position?
Yes. They're still descending, spiraling down according to the transponder.
Starboard hydroplanes and thrusters are out. We only got power in the port propellers. Base, can you hear us? This is Lintius.
He was alive. He was swimming.
What do you mean, swimming?
I think I saw a tail. A long tail.
This stuff is out of control. I can't level out. We're going down. Hang on. Wait a minute. There's a ledge. I'm going to try steering towards it.
They stopped on an ice ledge or some sort of outcrop, according to the sonar. The transponder indicates no vertical movement. A depth. 581 meters below the lake ceiling. If they can't control the sub, how are they going to get back up?
Come in, Base. This is Lintius. Base, do you read? Communications are out.
Sonar and echo sounder are out. I can't tell where we are.
Secondary instruments, cameras and external lights are also down. What happened to us?
It hit us.
What hit us? I didn't see anything.
I just can't believe it. They were right.
Who were right?
We got hold of the transmission tapes for the Rostov. The last words that one of the crew members was shouting just before they stopped was, "Sea monster."
You mean the Rostov was attacked by some sort of creature?
Creature? Look, wait a minute, I've heard enough of this. We have to figure out a way of getting out of here. This ice ledge won't support us for too much longer.
How? We have no power. Our umbilical has been cut in the impact.
I know. Without the tether, they can't winch us back up to Tiffus. We'll have to conserve every bit of power in the batteries for the remaining thruster and use the emergency transponder to find our way back up. Our oxygen is going to be running out, and the batteries can't run the scrubbers and power the thruster. I figure we got about 3 hours.
Okay, Dave. Try to get us out of here.
Pete. The sonar shows Lintius is moving. She's moving off the ice ledge. Let's hope she has enough power to get her back up. Come on. Come on, Dave. Bring her up.
They still have to get through the fissure and into the main body of the lake and up the Tiffus before the O2 runs out.
Thruster at full power.
We're going up.
No, not fast enough. It's too much for just one thruster. We'll have to pump out the collection tank.
It's coming back.
Picking up another target below them.
Moving out of the last one?
Yes. But what?
Its course is
erratic. Zigzagging. It's getting closer to them.
How far are they from the opening?
40 meters. They're not going to make it.
You're not going to believe this. Whatever it is, it's circling the sub.
We must have shorted something. We're really draining power on the batteries, the ones we have left.
I can see the fissure dead ahead, about 20 meters. It's coming after us.
There. Something is moving in the boat.
It's moved ahead of us.
What the hell is that thing? Must be at least 150 feet long.
We have to get this on camera.
What? They're all dead. What's it doing? It's just floating there as if it's waiting for us. Oh, my. This is what happened to the Rostov. I'm getting us out of here right now.
It's moving.
We have to get back through the fissure.
I've never seen anything like it.
Now we're too slow. We have to flush the tanks. Nils, open the tanks. It's too late. I'll do it. Damn it!
Hang on!
What's happened? Have they made it through?
The sub and the target have merged just at the mouth of the fissure.
Did it hit them?
No. No, Lincius is continuing through. The other target is moving back. Descending back into the other lake.
Will we make it?
CO2 levels are high, but we should be okay.
Thank you, Dave.
Save it.
You know, nobody will believe us.
Hey, we're still in one piece, aren't we?
We need to go back down, and soon.
What do you mean?
We came back with nothing. Only what we saw with our own eyes. We have no proof of the existence of that sea creature. We have to go down again.
Are you nuts? Look what happened to the Russian sub. What almost happened to us.
Maybe there's more than just one. A whole colony of undiscovered species.
Prehistoric relics, isolated in the lake when the Antarctic ice cap formed. It's remarkable discovery. The greatest in centuries.
Well, you're starting to sound like him. I blame the CO2. Right now, I just want to get us out of here.
We have to tell the Russians we found ourselves.
They will deny it ever existed. We have to keep quiet about everything until we go down again and get it on camera.
Now there's the docking arm on Tiffus.
Think about it. We could be part of one of the greatest scientific discoveries ever.
We would be the first people in the world to study a live prehistoric creature.
What about you, Dave?
Well, we're gonna need a bigger sub.
In Vostok by Bill Murphy. Dave was played by Stuart Milligan. Niels by Ingvar Sigurdsson. And Anna by Brana Bajic. Pete was played by David Earle. And Callum by Nick Dannon. Vostok was directed by Lawrence Jackson.
Man overboard! Skipper!
Wow. That's a creepy ending.
Yeah.
I like it.
Woohoo!
It's a keeper.
You're going to need a bigger sub.
Yeah. That wasn't a ripoff.
Yeah.
Nope. Not inspired by any other pieces of popular culture. Mm-mm.
Oh, of course not.
I thought I needed a bigger sub. I was at Subway. Yeah. I think I need a bigger sub. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, I think we can learn something, can't we, Dave?
It's you.
God help us. Erie House Radio proudly presents Dale's moral of the story. We're not going to pin this one on Gar. No way. Not going to have any way, shape, or form. We're not going to blame Gar for this. All right. When going swimming, don't go where the sharks are. Yeah, that's all that was worth, too.
Is that where the lawyers are?
Yeah, let me those get rid of that joke.
Now wash your hands.
Yeah, see,
Gar had a moral for all these, but he had to back out the last minute. So, and many times when he does that, he brings us the morals along, but no, not tonight.
So, some of them are pre-scripted, and some of them are on the spot. You can tell that one was on the spot. That I just did poorly. Oh, man, we got time left, huh? A little fun. What we got here? I'll bet we could do a wheel.
Well, there's one person. It's one person extraordinary doing the wheel.
Yeah. I know who
that
is.
Well, as a matter of fact, to be here, that extraordinary person called me. So and let me just leap over a few snowbanks, hailstones, and floods.
Wow.
And here we go. No, watch that avalanche. And here we go. Spin, spin, spin the wind.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Johnny, please. I would like to talk to you.
Yes, Mr. Berger.
I have something here that I want you to sign.
Au revoir. Excuse me. Au revoir.
I want you to sign something.
Sign? What is it? What is it?
Well, it's right here. If you must know what it is, it's an employee's withholding exemption certificate.
Au revoir.
Yes. Employees withholding exemption certificate.
Would you mind dragging that past a little slower?
Yes. Well, what it is, Charlie, it's a new, it's a new tax plan.
Oh, is it?
Yes. And, you know, it's, you pay as you go.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm. Well, then you better pay, because I ain't gonna go.
Well, this tax plan will affect your allowance.
You mean my measly 75 cents a week?
Yes, Charlie.
Oh, don't pick on that.
Well, and this is a blank that you have to fill out.
I see. What does it say?
Well, you can read right there.
See, it says,
well, you put your name and address here.
Yeah.
And check the box in the line below that applies to you.
Oh, I see.
Well, of course, the first one doesn't apply to you.
Oh, why doesn't?
Well, it's married person living with husband.
Oh, no, I'm not living with my husband. I left him.
Yeah.
He was a brute, he was. He was just no good. I despised the man.
Judge me, please.
He beat me. All. No one will ever know what I went through. What's number two? Is married person living with wife? Well, that's not me.
No, that's not you.
Third one is a single person not living, not married, not nothing. That's coming closer,
yeah.
I guess I'm number four.
What's that?
Single husband, not married.
Yeah, that's
that's me.
Now, Charlie.
Yes?
If you want me to help you out with this application blank, you'd better cut out this nonsense.
Very good, sir.
And can you fill this slip? I say, can you fill out this slip?
What, do you think I have the figure for it?
Yeah, no. But, Charlie, you ought to be able to figure this out yourself.
Yes, let me see. 20%.
Yes.
Have you got a pencil?
Yes, it's here.
Thank you. Now, let's see.
Now, how do you get 20% of 75 cents?
Yes, let's see. I put down 75.
That's right. Then put your decimal point 200.
Yes, 20, decimal point.
That's right. And multiply 20 times 75.
20 times 7 times, yes. Oh, yeah, I got it now. Old times old, that's all.
Yeah.
I put down a goose egg.
That's right.
Old times seven is, old times seven, that's a sticker, isn't it?
Oh, that's old too. That's old too, yeah.
It comes out, uh-oh.
That's right. 00 is correct.
Yeah, I've been working like a dog and I got nothing to show for it.
Now continue. Now the two and the five.
Oh, yes. If five goes into two... Oh, it doesn't go, does it?
No.
There's no use forcing it.
No.
No, Charlie, you've made a mistake. You carry the 7.
Oh, I carry the 7.
Yes,
I carry the 7.
Yes.
Why don't I carry the 0? It's lighter.
No.
Let's see.
Now, you put down the 0. Now, what about your 7?
I'm going to work on that right now.
All right.
The 7. I got to jack up the 7 and times 2 and plug in 1. 7 and 2 times 7 is 14.
That's right.
Yeah, it's 14. Then down to 4, add 1, pearl 3. No. Siphon out the 7 and saute the goose egg.
No.
And you slop it all together and it comes out around 131, except February, which is 28.
Oh, no.
Hey, what's the trouble, Charlie? What's going on?
Well, Charlie's trying to figure 20% of his 75 cents a week allowance, and it didn't come out so good.
It's one of those impossible problems, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, I see. Well, Charlie, it would be much easier to figure it out if you asked Bergen to raise your allowance to $1 a week.
Yeah. You're new around here, aren't you?
Why do you waste your time on that, Charles? You don't have to pay any 20% unless you're getting over $12 a week.
Yes, I know, but... what did you say? Is that right, Bergen?
Well, I haven't read the form very closely.
Well, Bergen, you can't.
Well, Charlie, please, don't touch me.
Charlie, you've ultra-violated my trust.
What?
You've framed me like a picture.
Oh, now, Charlie, please.
No,
Charlie.
Let go my lap.
Now, Charlie.
Boy, you feel my...
Another great job by Edgar.
Yes, so
Ed
many
Chuck.
Years. He was so good on the radio. Who would ever thought a ventriloquist would work on the radio? But he was so good on there. And what's funny is when you saw him in the movies or on television, you could always see his lips moving. He was the first to make fun of it.
Yeah, that was a running gag by the time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Edgar Berle and Charlie McCarthy, and who was his other one? Was it Mortimer Snerd?
Mortimer Snerd, yep. That's the story of it.
Yep. Many Warner Brothers characters were inspired by that.
Yeah.
That was my next question. Oh,
the buzzard.
And many years later, when somebody asked not Peter Sellers, in the Goon Show, I guess it's Spike Milligan. They asked him where he got the idea for Eccles, and he said it was directly from Mortimer Snerd. So he was a big hit in England just as much as he was here in the U.S.
How about that?
Wow.
Tomorrow night, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, City of the Dead. No, not tomorrow night.
Sunday.
And the game should end just in time for Garth's show, too. So that's interesting. Anyhow, City of the Dead, CBS Radio Mystery Theater on Sunday.
So everybody, I guess the entire state of Ohio will be closed tomorrow.
Yeah. At least Northeast Ohio. Yeah.
Drive them up and drink home safely. We'll see you Sunday night.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Damn.
Ouch.
You're diabolical sounding, girl. I like
that. Oh, thank you.
We like that around here, yeah.
We do.
Thank you. Yeah. One does their best. One tries.
It's good to be diabolical. Once in a while,
yes, I need to put that on the resume. Also, diabolical or diabolical, if you're going for the British. I'm diabolical as well as diabolical.
Quite right.
Depending on what
right.
part of the pond you are. All right. That's all right.
So is it diabolical, diabolical, or macabre?
Macabre.
Macaroon.
Macaroon.
Mac and cheese.
Macintosh.
Macintosh.
The Apple or the computer? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always wondered.
I'll never know.
Hmm.
We'll never tell.
Ooh.
So I have a date. I'm actually doing another movie show, Dale. I got the script. I got the cast. I got the crew. I got the place. We're going to Rubber City Clothing.
Oh, that sounds like an adult clothing store.
It's about all things Akron. It's about all things Akron.
Is this the Akron version of Fredericks of Hollywood?
Yeah.
No. But there are a lot of shirts and sweatshirts and all kinds of things. And there's glassware and Akron books and even Norca Pop. Have you ever heard of that there, CW? Where you at, Norca?
Norca? No, it does not ring a bell.
It's actually a brand came out of Akron. Norca is Akron, spelled backwards. And so
backwards?
They created Akron, yep. So
wow.
Norca is Akron spelled backwards, but it's from the backwards town of Akron. And so they have some of that there. And land of the Goodyear blimp. So that's where we have. It was the home of the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah. Yeah, and home of Victoria, actually Victoria's Secret, if you ever heard that song, I know Victoria's Secret, it was from an old guy from Ohio. Yeah, the guy who started Victoria's Secret was a guy, old guy from Ohio.
Yep, and Chrissy Hynde also wrote a song about Akron.
Yeah, a very depressing song about Akron.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was in her emo goth sort of genre, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you prefer of that wonderful, rich downbeat that she was doing? Or would you like, hey, Akron, Akron, Akron is really nice. Yay, yay. What? You know, it just doesn't do it.
Yeah, I guess not, but... Actually, a guy who works for me, he got to know her fairly well as they were in the same apartment complex. And in the middle of the night, he'd go down to do his laundry, and she was down there doing hers. So while laundry was washing, they would talk and stuff. And he would try to sing her a song, and then she'd say, this is why I sing songs so people like you won't, you know?
Wow. Wow.
She even created a vegan restaurant here in Akron because there wasn't any good vegan restaurants here. It didn't make it long, but she did make it. She did create it.
Huh. I did not know this. Yeah, I did not know this.
Had I known, I would have stopped by.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah.
See? And because of you, they're out of business. That's terrible. That's terrible. I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad man.
It was right over by
one of our
great local pizza joints. Been here for years and years. A big hangout for stars after their shows were over and such. Called Luigi's. Now, if you've ever seen the comic strip Crankshaft or the formerly comic strip of Funky Winkerbean, that was what he modeled the Montoni's Pizza place from.
Hmm.
So,
really? I remember seeing Funky Winkerbean.
Right, and in the end, he ended up being he was working there as a kid and ended up managing it as an adult. Montoni's. Well, that was actually what we have here is Luigi's. The band box and everything that he had there.
Hmm. That's amazing.
Is your Luigi still there?
It is. Tom Baddeck, who was the main cartoonist artist for that, he lives in Medina, but obviously spending a lot of time here in Akron.
I bet Luigi's has vegetarian and vegan options now, since a lot of bands go that route.
Actually, most places I've gone to now are finding ways to have some vegetarian fare there.
And by vegetarian fare, I mean you don't wave a piece of iceberg lettuce over it and call it good.
What's wrong with iceberg lettuce?
Wave it.
What's wrong with iceberg lettuce?
Iceberg lettuce is like eating air. It has no nutritional value, does it? Or very little?
No. It is... No, it really doesn't. I mean, I think it's right up there almost with celery. It takes more energy to consume it than you get calorically. And
you know,
there's no nutrition. You get...
Because of that celery bit there, CW, I figured that if you eat enough celery, you could starve yourself to death.
Wow.
It has a negative calorie. It has a negative calorie count. Enough
that
celery,
is deep.
You could starve yourself to death.
Yeah. If you could just get away from throwing about a quart of ranch dressing over it, it would work.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Peanut butter. Peanut butter. Yeah.
God, no.
Slop that on there, man.
Slop
that peanut butter on there.
Yeah, be sloppy on
it. Yeah, you just get a stalk and you just do a great big swish in your peanut butter container and pull out about 65% of the peanut butter.
There you go.
Or for those with peanut allergies, it would be the almond butter, which is pretty tasty. Or for those who are very shishi, the walnut butter or the cashew butter, which is worth its weight in platinum. Ooh.
I want to try cashew butter. Is it expensive, really?
I think so, yeah.
It's not. As a one-time thing, as a treat to yourself, go for it. Or you can find some places will have little packets.
But don't get hooked,
cashew
kid.
Butter. But don't. No.
Yeah.
No. You'll end up on the street corner trying to score cashew butter.
Yeah. We don't want
to. Yep.
Start a life.
Yeah. It won't be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and walnut butter is even more expensive. I haven't tried pecan butter.
I haven't tried any of those.
But
what's
almond butter is tasty.
He had something weird. What
sunflower
was it?
Seed.
Nah.
Sunflower seed.
Sunflower butter. Yeah, yeah.
Nutella or whatever. That's not any kind of a food.
Hazelnut. It's hazelnut. It's mostly hazelnuts. Nutella was invented when there was a chocolate shortage, I think around World War II. And no one was eating hazelnuts either. So someone slapped that together, and the rest, as they say, is history.
You know, there is a cocoa hazelnut.
Interesting.
that tastes like a chocolate donut. I'm telling you.
Come on, Dave, you can do it.
No, I don't usually dab, but somebody gave me and then I had to buy some more because it was so addictive. What is that? The peanut butter, what's the next step there? The Nutella. It was a Nutella, a chocolate Nutella. And it just is unbelievable.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. There was a different, it was Nutella, but it was a different kind of Nutella.
Yeah.
It had a swirl in it.
No. This was all dark. This was all like a dark chocolate all throughout. There's no swirl in it.
Well,
Slap it on a piece of bread. It tastes like a donut, telling you.
Oh, wow. Because there are a couple of rival to the crown of Nutella. I think Hershey's had a Reese's variety of Nutella, their variety of Nutella. There's a couple of other brands out there that are trying to rival Nutella. A few store brands. I think Aldi has a brand. I think Kroger has a brand.
Yeah, Kroger. Okay, there it is. It was Nutella spread with cocoa for breakfast. And it does. It tastes like you spread out a piece of bread, it tastes like a donut. I'm telling you.
Wow.
But that,
so,
you know, the one I have now is a store brand. But yeah.
Fed on some organic whole wheat bread and give that to your child and say, that's nutritious eating as my child is screaming and climbing the walls for more.
Yeah, let me see. I actually put that on some keto bread.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes if that's a little low in demand, I can always find sourdough, which is good for diabetics because it doesn't have sugar added. True, sourdough doesn't. You know, depending on who you got, you may have 1 or 2 grams of sugar, but true sourdough does not have sugar added.
You hear that, kids? Don't get any of that black market sourdough. You got to get the real. You
got
to watch.
Now you've got the black market. Okay, now you've got the sourdough mob gunning for you. Okay, remember, Dale said it. We didn't. We didn't do anything.
Dale, somebody's knocking on the Somebody's knocking on the Erie House doorbell.
Dale's not here.
Don't answer.
Dale's not here.
And he went into the witness protection program.
Yep.
In Transylvania.
Transylvania. That was fun. The Transylvania polka.
Yeah.
By the counting count. That was fun.
There we go. A hazelnut spread with cocoa. Great value, hazelnut spread with cocoa. That's what I think what I'm currently working on.
All right.
I just don't know.
The fact is, if you look at the actual read the labels, it isn't much or any less healthful for you than peanut butter, except it doesn't have peanuts in it.
Well, then what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, there are some peanut butters that are a little better than others. Some have far too much sugar than you need.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of steer away from that. Some of them are able to pull cholesterol out of it, so you don't have to have your heart surgeon on speed dial. There's that.
Take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, I know. I just robbed a heart surgeon of a new Mercedes.
I didn't do drugs in high school, man. I shot peanut butter. Oh, man, it slows the blood to your brain. It's so good of a buzz, man. Oh. Peanut butter.
Yeah, so were you a Skippy or a Jif?
When I got my own house, it was Jif. Yeah.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, the hard stuff. The hard stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
There's one that has a honey.
I ran with a rough crowd, you know.
I think the Peter, is it the Peter Pan that had the honey? Peanut butter?
Jif, Peter Pan, Skippy.
It must have been Peter Pan that had the honey peanut butter. I get that every once in a while.
Honey's too sweet for me. I don't like honey. That's way too sweet.
Yeah, I have to say I haven't bought any in a long time because what I did is I did buy a bottle of honey and I pour it onto my peanut butter and eat it that way.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here in the parking lot, watching chunks melt off my vehicle, which is nice. So I think the temperature's gone up. But
well,
the shell...
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, I was saying, forecasting for everyone, if you're in a vicinity of where the weather is not nice, people have gotten into the bad habit of what they got into in 2020. They're hoarding again. The shells are going crazy.
Yeah.
But because of that NFL thing, I think that and the weather, the combination, that's why people are going buck wild buying all the snacking and buying all kinds of food and everything so they can have homemade snackies for the big game.
Yes, and
couldn't even find any bugles in the store today. How terrible.
Oh, the humanity. It's the routing of civilization.
Any violins?
Game over, man.
What will you have to put on the end of your fingers? You're going to have to get out of it or something.
Yeah, I have to go with the olives, I think. Green olives, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
don't
no,
even
no.
get me started about the missing salsa. I mean, wow. People have gone salsa insane.
It's a salsa. You know what I haven't been able to find very much of? We've actually had to order it in the mail. Is nobody locally seems to carry real Hungarian paprika. And I think other specialty seasonings, but we use a lot of real Hungarian paprika, and nobody carries it anymore. It's like,
how is that different from regular paprika?
Yeah, I'm gonna ask that. It's tangier.
It has more of a tang to it. Like I think the Spanish paprika is a little on the sweet side and not as flavorful to me. Well, to us.
What about what do you make paprika from? What plant does it originate from?
A pepper.
So you grow the pepper, dry it out, crush it up, or they probably cook it to give it that smoky flavor, then crush it or dry it out. Well, you have a green thumb. Grow some of your own and smoke it, and you've got enough smoke in your home. Puff, puff, smoke, smoke.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not a flavor even I would want to eat. Well, not on a regular basis, but I do want to get a smoker. Funny you should say that. I would love to get a smoker. I got my little outdoor fireplace now, okay? So I'm all set there. We got the air fryer. We got the Instapot. Now all I need is a smoker.
Wow. You should do something for Erie House on YouTube. You know, right up there with, what's his name, Chef Tomain.
Well, I'm trying to figure out a way to dress up the dog. He'd make a better star than me. He's far better looking.
Give him an ice. Give your dog an ice cube. If they go for that with all the slathering, they look like they're rabid.
He does love him some ice cubes, but it's kind of hard to make a collie look rabid. Or is it rabid? Whatever. It's kind of hard. They got that narrow snout, you know. You're not going to get a lot of foam out of there.
I don't know. I mean, what's his face? Rudd Weatherwax, who trained all the lassies, there were a couple of times where they had Lassie really bearing their chops.
Oh, yeah. That's because her family was in danger. That's it. Screw it, Lassie's.
Timmy's in the well again. Again? Listen, let's just leave him there. I'm tired of this.
I just want a single panel. I think it's Flying McCoy Brothers. Where Lassie's at a bar. The phone is ringing, and Lassie says, if it's Timmy, tell him I'm not here.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, a question. Because I'm going to have to actually get going because, well, as nice as it is to watch my car thaw out, I really have to go someplace. But I have a question for you, a query.
What's
Talking
the question?
Talking Tina.
Okay.
The following. Talking Tina versus the doll Chucky versus that possessed doll from
Annabelle or whatever.
Exorcism. Yeah, that's it. Annabelle. Okay. I mean, it's right up there with Godzilla versus every other monster that's ever been done. Who do you think would come out on top? I'm Talking Tina. Hey,
I think,
Chucky.
I like Talking Tina. She creeped me out more. Chucky's almost comical anymore.
Yeah.
I never took him seriously. It's like, really, I'll dropkick your butt. But, like, Talking Tina seemed to have almost, I don't want to say quite supernatural, but she had that kind of hold over Kojak.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Think about Talking Tina. She always hurt you when you were trying to hurt her. So the more Chucky would try to hurt her, the more he would himself would get destroyed, I think.
Could be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come here, Talking Tina. I'm Talking Tina. You do that again, it's really going to hurt you.
Yeah. You're going to have an accident on the stairs.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the corner, you have Annabelle just waiting to go after who wins.
Oh, and the and the clown doll in Poltergeist. That was kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah.
He was creepy.
Now, that's a good one.
Let's save some of these memories next time we do a doll night, but dolls have always creeped me out. And ventriloquist dummies. Not the comic ones. They were funny, but some of them were absolutely hideous.
With Sir Anthony Hopkins and Anne Margaret, Magic. That's
Magic
the one.
Was a great
That's
movie.
The one.
That had one of the greatest. The ending was the greatest. The greatest line. The dummy goes, "I hope you die before I do." I think he says, "I doubt it."
Don't hold back. God. Tell me how you really feel.
Spoiler alert.
But now. Anyone
if you're listening
who has
this
not
long in the archive,
that...
you deserve it.
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah, there. So take that. But without further ado, enjoy the football game, everybody. Sunday. We'll be.
Sunday.
What time? 6:30?
Eastern
Standard Time. North American continent. Planet Earth.
U.S. of
A. Now I'm confused. Now I'm not sure when it is, but yeah.
But with that being said, I'll fulfill my final duty of the evening. The one, the only, the Schnozola, brushing off the snow on his fedora. Please take it away.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Good night, Mrs.
Where's
Calabash, wherever you are. She's under that snowbank trying to dig herself out.
Yeah, makes sense.
on and off the radio?